Welcome to the Erickson Covenant podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us today. We confess that we don't have all the answers, but as a community, we seek to find and follow Jesus and to discover daily the life he has always wanted for us. We hope this message will be encouraging and will inspire you to take the next steps on your spiritual journey. If we can help you in any way, please connect with us. The easiest way is through our website at ericksoncovenant.ca. Let's get started.
In the story of Antoine Fisher, a man who had been abandoned and abused, and yet finds redemption in the discovery of his real healed family, restored where it had been broken and renewed where it had been lost. In this touching final scene that you're going to see right now, a scene that imagines full restoration, Antoine comes home for the first time to be welcomed, to be introduced to his own family, by his own family, as one who truly belongs. Let's watch.
Hey, what are you doing? I'm your Uncle Horace.
Get out of the way, Horace. Come on, baby.
Oh, oh, look at you. Look at you.
I'm your Aunt Etta, baby.
Oh, wait, me, me. Oh,
I'm your cousin Jeanette.
Welcome home.
And I'm your Aunt Anna. How are you doing, baby?
This is my wife, T.
How you doing? Good looking.
I'm your cousin Eddie. My dad named me after your father. He's my brother Ray.
What's up, dog? What's cracking, man?
Hey, y'all. I'm your cousin Jason, man. What's love? What's love?
All right, boys. Open up.
All right.
Come on, Eddie.
What if I told you that you are also part of a family that you never knew? That there's coming a day when you will meet your fully restored brothers and sisters and be welcomed to the table to sit, to eat, to enjoy, truly belonging, truly welcomed, truly home. My brothers and sisters in Christ, my fellow travelers on the way, that day is coming. We've got family we've never met, ready to welcome us, cheering us on even now, joining with us as we worship in love, as we witness in faith, and as we wait in hope for that day when we do finally come home. In his letter to the Hebrews chapter 11, we're invited to consider this family of faith that we have inherited. As you heard already in the scripture read by Chase and Sven, it's quite a family, isn't it? epic names ring down through time. Noah, Moses, Sarah, Rahab, and more. All, we are told, were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. And the writer goes on to talk more broadly of how other family members of ours live by faith, people who, and it's quite a catalog, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames. You got all these Bible stories popping up in your head. Escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. I want to be on that team, don't you? But then, lest we think only victory comes to the faithful, he pivots without a hitch to others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These are our people. This is our faithful family, all of which we are told won out in the end, but in a way that we may not have quite expected. Listen to this in verse 39. These people, these both victorious, the tortured, the powerful in battle, those killed by the sword, all these faithful people, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. You know, they saw the prize, they believed it was theirs, they were going for it, and yet they never got what they were aiming for. They trusted God who made the promise, but they never got their hands on what they've been looking for. Why? Why had they not received what was promised to them? Well, get this. Listen carefully to what comes next. Verse 40. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Only together with us would they be made perfect. Or, and this is kind of the force of the Greek phrase here, only together with us would they reach their goal. Would they be made complete? Would they come to maturity? Would they reach the finish line? Only together with us. Our family of faith, stretching from Abel to Adrian, Sarah to Cheryl, will reach their goal and receive their prize, will complete their race and experience the promises given to them only together with us. And as we read the Bible and this whole sweeping history of God's people and God's actions, we discover we're not in this race alone. We're not in this fight alone. We're not in this battle alone. We're not following Jesus alone. We're part of a big family. We're part of one great big family. One great big church, or as Christians have confessed it down through the millennia, we're part of the communion of saints. This amazing, faithful, diverse family that stretches all around the world as well as backwards and forwards through time itself. The communion of saints across the space-time continuum. Now, this idea might be new to you, so let's just tease it out a little bit. In the Bible, we're told that all who are in Christ Jesus, that is, all who have said yes to Jesus, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, have been baptized into Christ, received the Holy Spirit, forgiven by Jesus, adopted into God's family, you are now part of God's family. You're in Christ. You're a temple of God's Holy Spirit because he now lives in you. Paul says, we are now one body because of all this, because we are in Christ. Now, this is an important truth that is taught all over the Bible, but let me just pull out two examples. In Romans 12, 4 to 5, we read, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." And then, as Paul teaches about the power of the communion meal, he says in 1 Corinthians, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf." In Christ, we who are many, we who are incredibly diverse, very different, we become one. We become one body. And what we come to understand is that the members of this one body of Christ don't just include all those who are still living now on earth. Many of those who are in Christ, who are part of this one body of Christ, they've died already. And they're now with Christ, waiting resurrection, but they're fully alive in Him. We've got brothers and sisters, many, many brothers and sisters who have lived and died long ago, like Sarah of ancient Mesopotamia, but also those who have passed away just recently, like Glenna Balcom of the modern day Creston Valley. We are one with them, and they are one with us in Christ. And what this means is that all confessing Christians are part of this one great big church, this one great big family, this communion of saints. And when you hear that word saints, you need to stop yourself from thinking just of people with that seem to have halos around their heads and they float slightly above the ground. You know, all the saints, Jerome's and then Augustine and Teresa's. No, you have to think of saints like Bill Merkley and saints like Eleanor Tomke. Saints like Glenna Balcom or Francis Eady. Saints in the biblical sense of that word as God's set apart, sanctified, holy people in Christ. Redeemed in Christ, one in Christ. And so when we confess monthly during our communion liturgy, as we will next week, that we believe in the communion of saints. I know for sure there's some of us that always wondered, like, what does that mean exactly? That's what we're talking about here. We believe in the communion of saints. We're declaring that we believe in the one great big church, the one great big family of God that stretches across space and time to include all who are in Christ. All who wait for Him on earth, sometimes called the church militant, because we're still in the battle, as well as all who wait for Him in heaven, sometimes called the church triumphant, in that they're now at rest from their labors and cheering us on. One pastor helpfully summarized this doctrine of the communion of saints this way. It's on screen. "When we gather in worship, we praise God with believers we cannot see. When we celebrate the Holy Communion, we feast with past, present, and future disciples of Christ. We experience the communion of saints, the community of believers, living and dead. This faith community stretches beyond space and time. We commune with Christians around the world, believers who came before us and believers who will come after us. We believe that the church is the communion of saints. And as a believer, you belong to the communion of saints." Does this seem surprising to you? Even for some of you as Christians who've read the Bible for a long time? Well, just a few verses further in Hebrews chapter 12, this is reinforced when we're told that when we come together in worship, we join in worship with a whole host of various beings, angelic, divine, and surprise, surprise, fellow family members in Christ who are no longer here, but are very much there. And somehow, spiritually and mystically, they're worshiping along with us now. When we come to worship, we're told in Hebrews 12, 22 to 24, You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. Another Christian writer put it this way: our worship transcends the time and space in which we worship. We have true fellowship not only with God, but also with those men and women who died in faith before us and who are surrounded by innumerable angels in festal gathering. We believe in the communion of saints. We believe in the one great big church. And it turns out beautifully that they actually believe in us. They believe in you. In fact, as the writer here puts at the end of Hebrews chapter 11, their perfection or their completeness, their end game, it turns out, is bound up with us, as it is only together with us that they receive the promises that God gave to them. Which then kind of makes sense of what comes next in the next verse, right at the start of chapter 12 of Hebrews. After saying how it's only together with us that these recent or long gone brothers and sisters who've lived and died in faith, they will reach the promises God has given them only together with us, the author then depicts this family gathering as a cheering crowd, as a witnessing crowd who are watching and waiting for us to finish our race. Hebrews 12, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. What's that cloud of witnesses? It's all those who have died in Christ, all those who have died in faith, all those, as we already heard in chapter 11, who were commended for their faith and yet none of them received what had been promised. Them, those guys, all of our brothers and sisters behind us in history, they're now surrounding us like cheering fans at a huge Colosseum, alive with anticipation for how we are running our race, how we will continue this fight, how we will maintain this faith and flourish to the finish. The writer of Hebrews invites us to see, kind of through the imaginative eyes of faith, how our daily lives, often mundane, often unnoticed, often unseen, but our daily lives of service and love is surrounded by this cloud of witnesses, that this is the company we keep, that these are the shoulders we stand on, that these are the lives that we honor and emulate, that these are the people who are cheering us on even now as we run. Can't you see the difference that that would make in our lives? If we really could capture that image, if that could really be worked into our daily understanding of our daily walk, can you see how we might view our battles differently and run our races with more intensity, laugh more, cry more, serve more, worship more, witness with more boldness, give with more abandon? If we could just catch a glimpse or hear with our ears this roaring body of support that we're part of, this amazing, faithful family to which we belong and who are now cheering us on. When we worship, we worship together as one with them, one with our brothers and sisters here, yes, but also down through time, all over the globe, the communion of saints. When we witness to Jesus, we witness together as one. We're standing on their shoulders. We're taking heart from their examples. We're knowing that they cheer us on even now, and all in the name of Christ. We're together in this, and we wait in hope. We wait together as one. The militant church here on earth doing battle with the evil one and good in the name of Jesus, as well as the church triumphant who is now at rest in Christ, awaiting our resurrection and cheering us on. We worship in love. We witness in faith. We wait in hope as the one great big church. But practically speaking, what does this communion of saints understanding really do for us? What difference does it make now? Well, the Hebrew writer makes it clear. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, what should we do? What should we do? He says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Knowing that this is our family of faith, knowing who has come before us and who's witnessing our race now, we realize that this race before us is all that counts. It's all that matters. And taking our cues from them, we're going to do whatever it takes to finish this race. We ditch anything that slows us down. That's what the author is saying. Distraction, eliminate it. Sin, confess it. Destructive habits, take those thoughts captive in the name of Jesus. Get the help we need to change those habits that are harming us into habits that are helping us run the race. We ditch anything that slows us down. When I was nearing the end, in every way I mean that, the end of my 118-kilometer Canadian death race, it was dark, I was drained, I was shuffling into the last aid station with broken feet, weary bones, and I'm sure a shattered mind. I told my support team to empty everything possible out of my running pack that I didn't need. Any extra clothes, any extra food, even extra water, friends. Empty anything that I could get out of that pack so that I could run, let's be honest, shamble, with the least weight possible in those last few kilometers. I needed to ditch anything that would weigh me down so I could finish the race. And when it comes to this faith race, this life race that we're in, all that matters is getting across the finish line well. So ditch anything that slows you down. That's what this coach writer of Hebrews is telling us. And having ditched anything that slows us down, let us run the race marked out for us. Run your race, the one Jesus gave you, in the situation you've been called to, in the family you've been given, in the marriage you've got, with the opportunities and struggles you have, with the brothers and sisters you've got around you, with the body you've got and the brains you've got. Give it as faithfully and fully as you can with God's help. Run that race. And as you do, hear the cheers of the witnessing church. Yes, those who are running together, but also those who are gathered around, knowing that our race, your race, actually matters to them. It matters. It's only together with us as one that we can all finish this race and get in on the prize that Jesus has for us. Which is why then, after ditching everything that slows us down and running hard the race we've got, the writer calls us to keep our eyes fixed on who? On Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, the one who's already ran it and ran it perfectly, the one who ran it for us, in running terms, the true GOAT, greatest of all time. Jesus ran it through suffering, ran it to death, and came out victorious. Look at Jesus as you run, as you suffer, as you hurt and then fall, as you sin and then confess, as you get up and keep running, as you confess your sin, fix your eyes on Jesus, as you ditch your distraction, fix your eyes on Jesus, as you near your goal. Some of us, as we near the goal, because you're looking at death just a few years away, as you near your goal, keep your eyes fixed on him and don't give up. Keep running the race. Jesus, your champion, he's with you, but he's also, in this kind of weird imaginative thing, he's also on the other side of the finish line, waiting to put a medal around your neck, waiting to welcome you across the line. This is powerful, profound stuff. It's mind-blowing, and it's life-altering. And the author of Hebrews here wants us to sink into our imaginations so that we understand this whole communion of saints is part of how we live life and understand the race we've been given. But it doesn't just end here, considering this great cloud around us. We're not just connected to each other, who we know, and those who have already died. We've already heard it. It's already been throughout this. But let me be clear. We're also connected in this communion of saints by the Spirit, one in Christ, to our very much alive, still alive family, members of the one body of Christ who are living and breathing today all over the world. And it's worth taking a moment now and then to remember that even as we gather today with believers, we gather with believers all over the globe, stretching across vast time zones. And I love remembering, especially as we gather to pray over here before the service at 9:30. Please join us anytime. When we're praying, I love to remember that as we pray, as we gather, we're also gathering together with brothers and sisters all over the world. I love remembering how right now, on the Lord's Day, the one great big church gathers for hours and hours and hours as the time zones go by to worship and pray, to witness and serve, to wait and to watch, expressing love and devotion to Jesus Christ in Kyrgyzstani, in Swahili, in Spanish and Dene, from Hebrew to Mandarin, Gaelic to Greek, Egyptian to English, fellow brothers and sisters, all fellow members of this one great big church, all saints in the communion of saints, all gather to worship in spirit and in truth the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are one in Christ with them. Just as we are one with those who've died, just as one as we are one with each other here. And this Sunday, in the faraway region of Karawa, in the heart of Africa, in a nation now known as the Democratic Republic of Congo, brothers and sisters in the Congo Covenant Church gathered to worship Jesus about 8 or 9 hours ago. But because they're African and they're Congolese, they probably only ended a few hours ago. They don't look at their watch when they've been only worshiping for an hour. They're just getting warmed up. But they too are members of this one great big church. They too are part of the community of saints. And what's more, they're even members of our particular family of churches, the Evangelical Covenant family. These are our people. And we're tight. We're like this, even if you didn't know it. Maybe you didn't even realize it till now, but we're one with them. They are us. You just haven't met them yet. And someday you will. And in that Congolese Covenant Church gathering today, there were brothers and sisters in Christ who've been drawn into a unique bond with us here at the Erickson Covenant Church and with you, forging a stronger connection. Why? Because 21 of those kids chose you, Erickson Covenanters, as their big brother and sisters in Canada. Their Covenant Kids Canada? Over here. They chose you as their World Vision sponsors. They let you, brothers and sisters in Christ, join them in the race that is ours together. We're all part of this communion of saints down through time and across the world. But now there's also been a special bond that's been created and tied that connects us even more. 2 weeks ago, we hosted Covenant Kids Congo Chosen Sunday here, powered by World Vision, and 21 of us signed up to be chosen as sponsors. And now we get to see who chose us. You ready for that? On Thursday, not this last Thursday, but the Thursday before, November 14th, way over there in Karawa, your pictures, the pictures that were taken at the back of the church here, they were printed off and they were placed up on strings so that 21 Congolese kids could choose you. Could look over the pictures and pick which person, which family, which couple they wanted as their sponsor. And through this unique partnership, that's an actual picture, and this partnership is the only one of its kind between World Vision and a church, the Evangelical Covenant Church, the Covenant Kids Congo, powered by World Vision, we were able to participate in a special program within that called Chosen, where you flip the script on the whole sponsorship program. Instead of you picking a kid, the kid who barely gets any choice in life got to pick you. And today is Reveal Sunday, 2 weeks later. Today we get to see who chose you. Are you ready for this? So let's watch together the choosing event, which happened 10 days ago in Karawa, when a little brother and a little sister of yours picked you.
Bonjour, mais...
You've been chosen by one member of this communion of saints, of this one great big church, to join them in the race that we run together. And the kids that chose you are over here. And so immediately following the service today, we are inviting you to come up, grab your envelope, find out who that kid is, and then today to start, initiate. Notice how they sat them right down to write you a letter? You saw that? We're going to sit you down to write a letter today too. And so what we're hoping you'll do is during coffee time, in the midst of everything else going on in the party, that you'll grab, there's a couple of our missions team will be around to help you, but we have letter writing material and a start letter, and we're encouraging you to write it today, or if you want to take it home and write it, that's fine, but don't leave it on the stack on the table, you know what I'm saying? Actually, fill it out. And if you'll bring it back over the next couple of weeks to the church, we'll mail it in as a package together to World Vision, and they'll get it out to the kids in Carawa. But that's how we're going to do it. We want to run this race together, and run we will, surrounded by a great cloud of cheering saints, and alongside a great communion of contemporary saints as well. We worship, we witness, and we wait. We get rid of everything that holds us back. We run hard the race before us. We fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, the champion of this race. And we do it knowing that together, and only together, that we will receive the full resurrection promises guaranteed by God, guaranteed through Jesus, given to us by the Spirit. And there's going to come a day when you will cross that finish line, only to be welcomed by brothers and sisters, some of whom you will know, but most of whom you won't. But they will most definitely know you, because they're cheering for you now. You're going to cross that finish line to be introduced to your own great big family. Welcome to the table to celebrate the family you've always had, and welcomed home where you truly belong, here in the kingdom, here in the communion of saints.
Thanks for listening in today. We hope you feel encouraged and challenged. If you know someone who would benefit from what you have heard today, please share this podcast. For more information, or if you have questions, you can connect with us through our website, ericksoncovenant.ca. You can also find us on Facebook by searching for Erickson Covenant Church.